إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء، واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام، إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم، ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد، فإن أصدق الكلام كلام الله وأحسن الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار. وبعد، إخوان, we mentioned that which was related to the advice of Luqman al-Hakim to his son, and that the first of those pieces of advice that he gave to him was, يَا بُنَيْ لَا تُشْرِكْ بِاللَّهِ إِنَّ الشِّرْكَ لَظُلْمٌ عَظِيمٌ. He mentioned, O my son, do not make shirk with Allah, for indeed a shirk, committing shirk, is ظُلْمٌ عَظِيمٌ, is a great ظلم and a great oppression. For indeed, أيها الإخوة, when oppression revolves around placing affairs in other than their correct place, then for a person to turn his act of ibadah to other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then that is from the greatest, it is the greatest form of ظلم على الإطلاق. Absolutely. And just as Yahya bin Zakariya, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him those kalimat, those five statements that they should convey to Bani Israel, that he was to convey to them, to act upon them and inform them of that, the first of those statements was that you should worship Allah Azza wa Jal alone and don't commit shirk with anything. And he said that verily the example of the one that commits shirk with Allah is like a person who has a servant, and that servant works throughout the day and then presents his work to other than his master. Which of you would be pleased with a servant like this? And so the first of the things that Luqman al-Hakim, and we see that likewise being the case with all of the prophets and the messengers, the first thing that they concentrated upon in their da'wah was not, أيها الإخوة, politics. It was not issues related to those beautiful aspects of mannerism and what have you that the deen of Allah Azza wa Jal is based upon. Though no doubt those affairs of adab and akhlaq are of importance, but it revolved around the greatest element of our deen, and that is the establishment of the worship of Allah Azza wa Jal alone. وَحْدَهُ لَا شَرِيكَ لَا. يَا بُنَيْ لَا تُشْرِكْ بِاللَّهِ إِنَّ الشِّرْكَ لَظُلْمٌ عَظِيمٌ. And that then, brothers and sisters, was the first piece of advice. Then Luqman, he went on, alayhi salatu wassalam, to advise his son. And from the things that Allah Azza wa Jal mentions after that statement, وَوَصَيْنَا الْإِنسَانُ بِوَالِدَيْهِ, that indeed we have given al-insan the wasiya, or the bequest concerning his parents. And this is something that we find repeating itself throughout the Quran, that Allah Azza wa Jal mentions his ibadah, mentions tawheed, and then couples it with that which is related to the mention of being dutiful to one's parents. And that, no doubt, Ikhwan, highlights the importance of this affair, being dutiful to one's parents. Whether we are young or whether we are of age. Oftentimes, ikhwan, people misunderstand the mas'ala and believe that this affair of being dutiful to one's parents, that it ends with adolescence, or that it ends when a person reaches the age of 21, or that it ends at 18, and that somehow he now becomes a man that no longer has to be or needs to be dutiful to his parents. And from ikhwan, our mashaykh, and from our elder brothers from among the tulab al-ilm, and those who are senior in knowledge, we observe, ikhwan, their obedience to their parents in their adulthood. That if it was that it was sought from them to travel for the purpose of ilm or da'wah or the likes, that even as adults, and people of knowledge, that they would still, if their parents were alive, they would still inform their parents and seek their permission. And that, brothers and sisters, indicates to us the fact that they understood that and understand that this affair of being dutiful to one's parents, because of the fact that throughout the Quran, we see it being mentioned coupled with Tawheed. Then just as we give importance to Tawheed, we give importance to that which Allah Azza wa Jal mentions in close proximity to it, alongside it, in order of importance. And here we see Luqman, he does the same with his son. وَصَيْنَا الْإِنسَانُ بِوَالِدَيْهِ. That Allah Azza wa Jal mentions that we have given mankind the bequest and the wasiya with his walidain, with his parents. That, brothers and sisters, we see throughout the Sharia. Allah Azza wa Jal mentions, حَمَلَتْهُ أُمُّهُ وَهْنًا, that indeed his mother carried him wahna, in weakness. That from the beginnings of her pregnancy, she suffered weakness, difficulties, hardship, sickness, illness, in order to carry this child and to rear this child within her stomach. And throughout the course of her pregnancy, and some women no doubt are more severe in that than others, but what they are generally all united upon is that in pregnancy there is difficulty. And that is something that we as men are not able to truly understand. But Allah Azza wa Jal informs us in the Quran, حَمَلَتْهُ أُمُّهُ وَهْنًا. And Allah Azza wa Jal elsewhere in the Quran, he mentions, حَمَلَتْهُ أُمُّهُ كُرْهًا وَوَدَعَتْهُ كُرْهًا. That Allah Azza wa Jal mentions that she carried him in difficulty, in hardship, and she gave birth to him in hardship, in difficulty. And that is something, ikhwan, that a mother never forgets. That which occurred as it relates to her carrying her child, and that which she went through throughout the course of that pregnancy, and the difficulties of childbearing. And so Allah Azza wa Jal makes mention of the parents because of the fact that it was them, and it is them, that Allah Azza wa Jal made a sabab for your wujud, and made a reason or means for your existence upon earth. By way of them, Allah Azza wa Jal legislated that they would be the means by way of which you would exist, and that He would choose to bring about your existence. And so, brothers and sisters, the station of one's parents is no doubt tremendous. So Allah Azza wa Jal mentions, حَمَلَتْهُ أُمُّهُ وَحْنًا عَلَى وَحْنٍ, that his mother carried him in difficulty or in weakness upon weakness. And up until the time that she gives birth to him, and he enters this world and enters this dunya, then after that childbirth and after that period, she reclines, oftentimes collapses out of the difficulty of giving birth. Not, brothers and sisters, we were not able to perceive what was taking place, but it occurred. And so we have that great wasiya with the walidain, and in particular our mothers. In that regard, we have a number of ahadith. From them, we have the hadith, ayyuha al-ikhwa, wherein the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was asked on an occasion, as occurs in the hadith of Abi Amr al-Shaybani, who mentioned that indeed we went to the dar, or to the house of Abdullah. And he mentioned that قال سألت النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أي العمل أحب إلى الله عز وجل قال الصلاة على وقتها قلت ثم أي قال ثم بر الوالدين قلت ثم أي قال ثم جهاد في سبيل الله ثم الجهاد في سبيل الله. He said, I asked the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which of the actions are most beloved to Allah azza wa jal? And so the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he responded by saying, As-salatu ala waqtiha, prayer on its time. He said, and then what? He said, then being dutiful to one's parents. The rights of Allah azza wa jal discussed initially, and then being dutiful to one's parents being discussed and mentioned secondly. And then he mentioned, Al-jihadu fi sabilillah. Similarly, we have the statement of Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma, who mentioned, رِضَ الرَّبِّ فِي رِضَ الْوَالِدِ وَسَخَتِ الرَّبِّ فِي سَخَتِ الْوَالِدِ, that the good pleasure of our Rabb and our Lord is in the good pleasure of our fathers. Yani is in pleasing our fathers. And the anger of our Lord is in angering and displeasing our fathers. Similarly, we have the statement of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam that occurs in the hadith of Bahaz ibn Hakim and Abihi and Jaddi, who mentions, "Qultu ya Rasul Allah." He said, "O Messenger of Allah, man abarru, who should I be dutiful to? Who has more right to me being dutiful to them?" Mentioned, Ummak. He said, your mother. Qult, man abarru. On a second occasion he said, who should I be dutiful to? And so he said, on a second occasion, Ummak. Qult, man abarru. He said on a third occasion, who should I be dutiful to? And so he said, Ummak. And then on a fourth occasion, he said, who should I be dutiful to? He said, Abak. He said, your father. So on three occasions, the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned one's mother first and foremost, and then followed that with the mention of one's father. Similarly, we have the hadith and the narration of Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma. Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma, a man approached him on an occasion and said, إِنِّي خَطَبْتُ إِمْرَأَ فَأَبَتْ أَن تَنْكِحَنِي. He said that verily on an occasion, this man, he said that I gave a proposal to a woman, but she refused to marry me. He said, وَخَطَبَهَا غَيْرِي فَأَحَبَّتْ أَن تَنْكِحَ. And someone else proposed to her and she desired to marry him. فَغِرْتُ عَلَيْهَا فَقَتَلْتُهَا. And so I became jealous and I killed her. He said, فَهَلْ لِي مِن تَوْبَةٍ. He said, so do I have any tawbah? Is there any repentance for me? And so Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma, he said, أُمَّكْ حَيَّةٍ. Is your mother alive? Ummak hayya? Is your mother alive? قال لا. He said no. So he said, Tub ila Allah azza wa jal. وتقرب إليه ما استطعت. He said then, repent to Allah Azza wa Jal and draw close to Him as much as you are able. Repent to Allah for what you have done and draw close to Him as much as you are able. And so Atta ibn Yasar, after the incident, he said, فَذَهَبْتُ فَسَأَلْتُ ابْنَ عَبَّاسِ لِمَ سَأَلْتَهُ عَنْ حَيَاتِ أُمِّهِ. He said, so I went afterwards and I asked Ibn Abbas, why did you ask him if his mother was alive? He said, فَقَالَ إِنِّي لَا أَعْلَمُ عَمَلًا أَقْرَبُ إِلَى اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ مِنْ بِرِّ الْوَالِدَةِ. For verily I do not know an action that is closer to Allah Azza wa Jal than a person being dutiful to one's walida, than a person being dutiful to one's mother. Walhamdulillahi Rabbil Alam. بسم الله والحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن والاه وبعد. Indeed, Ikhwan, this affair of being dutiful to our parents, as we mentioned, Ikhwan, and we reiterate, it is something that we neglect, and it is imperative upon us to fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as it relates to our parents, whether they are Muslim or whether they are kuffar. For that is another thing that is neglected and another thing that is misunderstood, that the kafir parent is to be neglected. La. For indeed Allah Azza wa Jal, He mentions that if they jahadak, if they strive against you to force you to worship other than Allah, لا تطعهما, then do not obey them. وَصَاحِبْهُمَا فِي الدُّنْيَا مَعْرُوفًا, but accompany them with good in the dunya. Here Allah Azza wa Jal speaks and addresses that which is related to the kafir parent. Not only the kafir parent, but the kafir parent that attempts to force an individual to make shirk with Allah Azza wa Jal. Allah Azza wa Jal mentions, if they strive against you in order to make you make shirk with Allah, فَلَا تُطِعْهُمَا, then don't obey them in that. But صَاحِبْهُمَا فِي الدُّنْيَا مَعْرُوفًا, but live with them with goodness in the dunya. And that, no doubt, Ikhwan, the ayah is coupled with a number of narrations from the companions who would approach the messenger concerning their non-Muslim parents. And the messenger would command them to be dutiful to them. And no doubt, Ikhwan, the affair of being dutiful to anyone in the dunya, anyone in the dunya, that which is related to being dutiful to any individual in the dunya, is coupled and regulated by that which is related to ma'roof, that which is related to good. For indeed, the messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, لَا طَاعَةَ لِمَخْلُوقٍ في معصية الخالق, that there is no obedience to the creation in that which necessitates disobedience to the Creator. So whether it is obedience to the ruler, whether it is obedience to one's husband, whether it is obedience to one's parents, then that obedience must revolve around ma'ruf, that we do not obey them upon that which necessitates disobedience to Allah Azza wa Jal and will bring upon us the anger of Allah subhanahu. And so, brothers and sisters, the station of one's parents indeed is tremendous. That which establishes that is a narration of Taysala ibn Mayyas, who mentioned, كنت مع النجدات كنت مع النجدات فأصبت ذنوبا لا أراها إلا من الكبائر فذكرت ذلك لابن عمر. He said, I used to be with the Najdat. The Najdat were a group and a faction from among the Khawarij. The Najdat, a faction from among the Khawarij. He said that I committed a sin that that I saw, in my opinion, being that he had that orientation, that I saw that it was from the major sins. And so he said, I went to Ibn Umar and I asked him concerning that. And so he said, ma hiya, qultu kada wa kada. He said, what was the sin? He said, it was such and such. And so he said, laysat hadhihi min al-kaba'ir hunna tisa. Al-ishraku billah wa qatlu an-nasma wal firaru min az-zahf wa qadhfu al-muhsana wa aklu ar-riba wa aklu mal al-yatim wal ilhad fi al-masjid walladhi yastaskhir wa buka' al-walidayn min al-uquq. Qala li ibn Umar, atafraqu an-nar wa tuhibbu an tadkhul al-janna? Qultu ay wallah. قال أحي والدك أحي والدك؟ قلت عندي أمي. قال فوالله لو ألنت لها الكلام وأطعتها أو أطعمتها الطعام لو ألنت لها الكلام وأطعمتها الطعام لتدخلن الجنة مجتنبت الكبائر. He mentioned that indeed the major sins, they are nine. He said the first of them, al-ishraku billah. The first of them, making shirk with Allah. The second of them, to kill a soul. Yani to kill an individual without the right. He said the third of them, al-firaru min az-zahf. That a person flees from the battlefield when the armies meet. What is known as a tawalli yawm al-zahf. When the armies meet, that one becomes, he loses courage and he flees from the battlefield. Major sin. Similarly, then he mentions, and qadful muhsana, that one falsely accuses a woman who is chaste of illicit sexual actions. That one falsely accuses her. And that, brothers and sisters, Ahlul Ilm mention that that similarly relates to a male. Though oftentimes the ahadith and the nusus mention women, that likewise relates to the male. And the punishment of lashes is established upon the one who falsely accuses a man as it is upon the one who falsely accuses a woman. And that, brothers and sisters, is something that we need to be cautious of. Because oftentimes they may reach or they may come to us, statements. And we may hear in the grapevines affairs. And so we make the state, we make statements that insinuate that it may have occurred. Or that I wouldn't put it past her or him. Not brothers and sisters in Tebi. Because that in and of itself is a sin and is a crime that has based upon it the hudud, the establishment of Islamic punishment. Just that insinuation. Similarly, we have the statement, wa aklu riba. Brothers and sisters, this eating and consuming riba is something that we find in these trying times. And in these times where it is difficult to buy a home. And in these times where it is difficult to buy a nice car. And in these times where there are certain commodities that we wish to involve ourselves in. Yahi, the only way that you can do it these days is through higher purchase, yahi. The only way you can do it these days is through a mortgage. It's the only way. How else are we going to buy a house? How else? Or we... in order to massage our guilt that we involve ourselves in many of these Islamic mortgages, which are in many ways worse than the mortgages that are given to you by Barclays and TSB. That, brothers and sisters, is something that is manifest. Likewise, Ikhwan, the various other manifestations of riba, whether it is the two types or any of the two types of riba. Riba al-fadl and riba al-nasi'ah. Both of those types of riba, all of them, ikhwan, haram. Similarly, that one consumes the wealth of the orphan. That one consumes the wealth of the orphan, money that was allocated for orphans, and one consumes it. Likewise, he mentions heresy in the masjid. That a person commits heresy in the masjid. Likewise, to ridicule. Similarly, buka'ul walidain min al-uquq. That you cause your parents to cry. That you cause your parents to cry because of you being disobedient to them, or you not being dutiful to them. And that, brothers and sisters, is something, again, easy for an individual, particularly as an adult, to fall into. So he carries out those affairs and those actions that displease his mother, displease his father. And he's well acquainted with the fact that they are displeased with such actions, whether he lives in their home or he lives outside of their home. And that there is no disobedience to Allah in that action. And he disobeys his parents in that regard. And so on the basis of it, he causes his mother to weep. Or he causes his father to weep. And because of the fact that he may have been a wretched child as a younger individual, he makes statements such as, well, she cries for anything. These affairs, ikhwan, we should not take them lightly. Wallahi ayyuhal ikhwa. They no doubt are from the kaba'ir al-dhunub. He mentions likewise, قَالَ لِي Ibn Umar. Ibn Umar then said to me, do you wish to distance yourself from the fire? And do you wish to enter Jannah? He said, Allah. He said, yes, by Allah. He said, then are your parents alive? I said, verily my mother, I still have my mother. And so he said, then by Allah, لَوْ أَلَنْتَ لَهَا الْكَلَامِ. He said, by Allah, if you were gentle with her in your speech, وَأَطْعَمْتَهَا الطَّعَامِ, and that you fed her and you gave her food, and that he mentioned, لَتَدْخُلَلْنَا الْجَنَّةِ, verily you would enter Jannah as long as you stay away from the major sins. If you're soft in speech to her, and if you feed her food, and you bring her a meal, bring her something nice, a gift of food, then you would enter Jannah, as long as you stay away and avoid the kabair. نسأل الله سبحانه وتعالى يوفقنا وإياكم لما يحبه ويرضاه. صلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد.